You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarland. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. Hey, it's the HR Happy Hour. My name's Steve Bowes. I'm with Trish McFarland. How are you today, Trish?
I'm doing great, Steve. How's your day?
So far, so good. It's quite early. My day has not really had a chance to go wrong yet.
That's good. I know. It's early on a Monday morning here. So thanks for getting my week started out right with an HR Happy Hour.
I tell you what, it doesn't feel quite like the Happy Hour, Trish, recording this early in the morning. This might be the earliest recording time ever. And it's not that early, really. I mean, it's moderately early only. I guess it just feels very early, right? I don't know what's happening.
Right. Well, I'm just now having my first iced tea of the day. So maybe that's why I feel a little under caffeinated at the moment. So nice. I'll come along as the show goes.
All right. Well, very good. Very good. This is HR Happy Hour 227, recording this on a Monday, as we said. This is December 14th, grinding down to the end of the year. Trish, Ben, it's been a great year. We still have more things to do, though, before this year's over. We've got at least a couple more shows, I think, in the docket, right?
Oh, we do. Yes. I mean, I think, too, it's because people are starting to get maybe a little more time in their calendars. So we've got at least another three to record before New Year's. So it'll be a busy couple of weeks, but hopefully some really good and different shows and people who've never been on the show before. So I think that'll be exciting, too, to get some different guests out there for people to hear before the end of the year.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about a few things. I've got a couple more real quick trips too before the end of the year, and this is one thing I want to talk about and sort of because I know we've talked about it on the show before, but I'm going to see a couple of basketball games in the next few weeks. I'm going to see my first game in Brooklyn to see the Nets play, and I'm not a Nets fan, but I've never been over to Brooklyn to see them play. I'm going there in a couple of days, and then I'm going to a Knicks game with my son after Christmas. So, Trish, I know you finally went to your first NBA game recently. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
I did, and you know, I won't give too much away because we have our NBA show coming up in just a couple months. But I thought, you know, it might make sense to go to an actual NBA game. We don't have it in St. Louis, and so I didn't know what I was missing. When I was in Orlando over Thanksgiving, I went to a Magic game, and let me just tell you, big shout out to the Orlando Magic because that was the best sports experience I think I've ever had. Every single employee, we could do a whole show. Maybe we could get a show with some of the people from the Orlando Magic on because
are you that tight with them now, Trish? You've like made inroads into the Orlando Magic?
I think we need to be because from a customer service standpoint, I was greeted by no fewer than 20 people who worked there. I'm not even kidding. You felt so welcome and like they really wanted you to be there. You walk in and it was so clean. I mean, I've been to nice stadiums and different venues and this was amazing, but just the friendliness, the outgoing feeling, how helpful they were. I've never felt that way in a sporting event ever. So started out the night great, saw an amazing game. The Magic won, which, you know, it just made it that much better. And there was a contest there was about 15,000 people there. And my family won the contest. We won 4 season passes to Walt Disney next year. So
wow, that's really awesome.
So you know me, I'm a huge Disney person anyway. I go down there like 3 times a year anyway. So as you can imagine, now it's like we're planning like, oh, we could just go for the weekend. We can nice. Just fly down for, you know. So,
nice. Can anyone be in your family? Can I be adopted into your family?
I might have to adopt you. I'm not sure. No, but isn't that cool? Like,
that's
for
awesome.
Us, that was like, I never win anything. I was thinking back. Do you know the last time I won something, Steve?
I do not know.
Okay, so I won an art contest, and I think I was about maybe 8 or 9 years old when Empire Strikes Back came out.
Wow.
And it was a contest to draw robots, and I won tickets to the opening of Empire Strikes Back in St. Louis. So there you go. It's been a bit.
Well, you have had a long run of not winning, it sounds like, too, which has been interrupted.
I've been a loser for a long time.
Well, yeah, no, I didn't say that, Trish. You said that word. I said not winning. So let's just keep that in mind.
Not winning. Okay, different story.
Awesome.
Okay.
Well, that's
like
great.
Not guilty? Yeah. It's like not guilt, right?
Yeah,
No, okay.
right, exactly. Cool. Well, that was fun. So yeah, that's exciting, and I'm excited too about hitting up some NBA games as well. So all right, enough with this, Trish. Let's get on with the show. We have a super guest waiting in the wings to join us today. His name's Anthony Abatello. Now, I know Anthony a little bit. Anthony spoke at HR Technology Conference a couple of years ago, and I believe the last time I talked to Anthony before today was I think I convinced him to reschedule part of his honeymoon so he could come and speak at HR Tech. I believe that might have been the case. He can tell us if that's true or not. I feel like that was possibly something I did. But Anthony is a principal in the Deloitte Human Capital Practice, based out of the New York office. Anthony focuses on advising global clients on building high-performance businesses that drive growth and optimization through human resources and talent management. He is responsible for the leadership culture and engagement practice, and that's what we're going to talk about today, all around culture and connecting it through to engagement and business strategy, which is really exciting. Oh, just a couple of things more on Anthony. Anthony began his career at Accenture, helping global clients increase the effectiveness of HR by creating innovative strategies, global operating models, and bringing HR into the digital age. He also helped pioneer Accenture's HR transformation capabilities. Continuing to build expertise in the enterprise resource transformation, Anthony has led key mergers and acquisitions and the transformation of global enterprise functions such as HR, operations, finance, and information technology. Lots more to agree. I'm not going to read it all, Anthony. It'll go on forever. Finally, Anthony continues to share his expertise and industry research externally through his adjunct professorship role at New York University. Hey, that's really cool. And is a graduate of Villanova Business School and at Villanova University. Please welcome to the show, Anthony Abatello. Anthony, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Hey, our pleasure. Anthony, did I get that right? Did I have you reschedule your honeymoon or something for HR Tech 2 years ago?
It wasn't a honeymoon, although it was pretty close because it was our vacation out with family to the Napa Valley, which equally as important.
Yeah, I felt badly about that, but I felt great about having you be a part of HR Tech, and I got to say, we've got to do that again, so mark your calendar. I'll send you a note after the show to try to pencil you in for this year if we can.
Excellent, excellent. Well, no, it was well worth it. It was my, 18 hours in Vegas that was probably the least tumultuous of other trips in the past, so I was happy to do it.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, today, Anthony, we wanted to talk with you about culture, measurement, connection culture to strategy, and some of the really exciting things Deloitte is doing in that area. But before we get into that, is there anything else we should know about, you know, what you're doing at Deloitte or more about you that we didn't get to in the bio as a way of kicking off the show?
Sure. I mean, you know, the big thing that I'm focusing on right now is, as I'm sure you can possibly imagine, the culture and leadership space is just on fire. You know, it continues to be the top issue for most of our C-suite clients. So I'm spending all of my time on either in the market working with clients or, you know, helping Deloitte shore up our capabilities globally around leadership and culture. You know, they are really linked. We need for our leaders and, you know, the capabilities and identification of potential kind of wrapped around the behaviors they need to drive the business strategy through the culture is, I think, top of mind for everyone, especially given all you see in the news. And so that's pretty much my everyday. And I have to say, it's just wonderful. I love waking up and doing my job every morning.
Anthony, that's great. Hey, let's talk about it. Let's get into it a little bit from your perspective and from the kind of things that Deloitte is doing around culture. One of the things that seems to, at least from my perspective, and I'm interested in this a lot because I've talked about it some myself, is how sometimes we can measure culture and we can talk about culture, but it seems very, I don't know, amorphous in lots of organizations, or like we've gotten better at trying to understand it or at least kind of quantify it, but that's all we've gotten better at. So we're good at measuring culture and not doing much else with it. Is that fair to say, or is that something you guys are thinking about and what you're doing at Deloitte?
Yeah, you know, the big thing is, I think for most clients and, you know, most companies, they have a sense of that, you know, they've done a survey and they have a measurement about it, and it helps them get some insights. But, you know, we've been saying it's clients leaving their corporate culture on cruise control and not really focusing on what are the behaviors we need from our leaders, from our organization to drive the business strategy. So there's this disconnect between what we need from our culture, what we need from the business, and what we're actually trying to accomplish in the business. And so I agree. I mean, I think it is it's quite amorphous. It is larger than most people think it is. They think it is just touchy-feely placards and, you know, nice pictures and, you know, mugs around the office and whatnots. But it really is, I would say, the number one driver of business strategy. And, you know, getting clients' heads around that is has been, you know, a big focus for us right now.
Yeah, that makes sense, Anthony. I think, you know, I've seen a lot of focus on it from the tech space as well, from like what I do with HR Tech. You know, I've been, you know, demoed, you know, seemingly dozens of tools in the last 3 years that are all about, you know, driving the measurement of engagement slash culture to a more granular level, to a more, you know, fine grain level across the organization, to do it more frequently, you know, by doing, say, more pulse surveys and things like that. But it doesn't seem like, I'll just say this quite frankly, most of the things I've seen don't really do anything else. Like from there, they just kind of present the HR leader or the business leader this set of data, and it doesn't really, it just sort of sits there. I don't know if you've had that experience too or seen that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think, you know, the biggest push that we've been making is around the connection of business strategy to culture. So shape your culture, drive your strategy has been, you know, kind of the message that I've been preaching in the market. And, you know, with that, if you can really define what are the attributes and behaviors of the organization that will support where your business strategy, where you need your business to go, that will have greater impact on overall the workforce, but also on the productivity of the business. And so, you know, the measurement of the data, right? So what comes out of these tools, normally they are what they're either good or bad, right? Mm-hmm. This is good, that's bad. And, you know, that's not really, it's only useful if you actually know, is it bad to drive the strategy that I need? So if I'm too externally focused on the market and my clients, that may be a great thing if you want to be, you know, customer service oriented and focused on results and feelings of your customer. Bad if you want to be the operational product focused company. So it's that connection first to the strategy. Then the data becomes interesting. And I think that, you know, part of that is connecting emotionally to the workforce. And it's something that consumer marketers have been doing for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now it's our opportunity to take a page from their playbook and put it into practice for us.
Are you starting to see that you're helping organizations do this when they're actually making the hiring decisions, like right at the very beginning? Because I think one of the disconnects for me when I was an HR leader, for example, is, you know, we'd sort of, regardless of which company I was working for, we would sort of, as a leadership team, try and define what the culture is and get an understanding of maybe the behaviors we wanted, like you're saying. But the disconnect would be that with every new hire you bring in, they change the culture. So it's this fluid thing. And it was always kind of hard to get our minds and our arms around. Are you sort of helping organizations when they're thinking about, once they've identified it, maybe how they then continue to support that by making the right hires? Does that come into play at all?
It absolutely does. I think when you, if you follow from, you know, strategy into, you know, cultural behaviors, the attributes of the organization, of the individuals, then, you know, as an example, if you're looking to be a culture of innovation, then, you know, we know that you're going to have to be focused on external environment. You're going to need to be focused on, you know, having courage. You're going to have to be focused on, you know, more, you know, inclusivity around idea generation. And so if you take that forward now and see based on that culture profile, I could now, from hire through to development, through to leader actions and behaviors, even into just the decisions we make in our own infrastructure, our own systemic reinforcements that we need to put in place, things like the sales process, the clients, things like performance management. If we are right around our culture, then those behavioral attributes should find their way throughout the entire employee life cycle, actually throughout the entire business life cycle, so that we're consistently driving the attributes, the behaviors that are supportive of the business strategy. And I think this is the cruise control. I think most companies just put their culture on cruise control to run, and they focus on the business strategy, but never connecting the two. And so you may just have behaviors that are, you know, forcing your organization to not achieve its greatest potential. You know, in performance, in, you know, employee performance or overall business performance.
Oh, that makes sense. Definitely.
Yeah, no, Anthony, thank you for that. You know, it reminds me, Trish, I know you love when I talk about the blog on the show. People love that, don't they? But,
yeah, did you write about this?
I have. I've done a very popular series of articles, Trish. So, Anthony, you know the game rock, paper, scissors? Of course you do, right?
Yes. Of course.
So I did this whole thing and actually presented on it a few times where I sort of spun the rock, paper, scissors into culture, strategy, and my third one was talent, right? And the whole shtick was, right, you need all three, right, working together. You can't just focus only on the one because something else, like in rock, paper, scissors, you can't throw rock every time, you will lose, right? And so that was the idea. But, like, I didn't get anywhere with – you know, really with my thinking about and where you're going, which is why I'm really fascinated by this, is really making that explicit connection between the measurement, the definition, the sort of commitment to a culture and how that enables strategy. I love that. And I think that's where the conversation has to go. And that's where the capabilities need to go. Otherwise, it's just too soft and too, like I said at the top, it's too touchy feely. And it's too, like, every time I see that, you know, culture eats strategy for breakfast thing, I get enraged, you know, and that was why I came up with the whole rock, paper, scissors thing. Cause I would see that quote all the time and I would get mad by that. Cause I'm like, no, that's not the whole thing. It's not enough. And, so I love what you guys are doing in this regard. It's like speaks to me, really personally, almost, Trish. And so I'm glad that's what you guys are doing. Hey, Anthony, one of the things I wanted to talk about a little bit is, and you mentioned to this a little bit in when you were talking about what marketers know and how they assess the market and their customers and how they sort of take products to market and try to sell them. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that, like how emotions tend to be sort of drive people much more necessarily than reason, and how HR leaders or business leaders as well can kind of use that knowledge from marketing a little more explicitly as they're helping their organizations to better sort of align around a culture and a strategy.
This whole idea of emotions, when we started the research a couple of years ago, and even now as we're bringing this point of view into the market, you know, I just as, you know, pragmatist, I sort of cringe at the idea of emotion, right? Why are we talking about emotions? But when you think about this consumer, right, the consumerism and consumer marketing, right, there's so many commercials that are out there that they tug on the heartstrings and they connect you to the brand. And, you know, whether it's, you know, puppies or cats or horses or whatnot, you know, you get this connection now to the brand that, you know, happened in 30 seconds. And so, you know, this idea of bringing that into the corporate culture space has really been the differentiator for us, you know, and really the X factor now. So, you know, most organizations, you know, they try to define, it's like you were saying, Steve, they do all these surveys and they have all this information about their culture, but they do nothing with it. So, you know, what we were seeking to do in our research was, you know, identifying the way where you can actually see how people experience the organization and how you make that emotional connection with them. And you do that deliberately, you know, whether you know that or not, you know, your culture is what's making that emotional connection to your employees. And so, and into the external, you know, marketplace, as, you know, as Trish was saying, even as, you know, with new hires. So that emotional connection is so important and is so underestimated in so many organizations. And so, you know, I think when you see that, I would see that, you know, previous assessments and data kind of always look at what are the common archetypes of culture, right? And it gets to that good or bad. And I think for us, you know, we've now said it's got to be this continuum of foundational attributes and these emotional connected differentiating factors. So ones that, you know, you can be along a continuum, they're normative and, you're a little bit more A, a little less B. And it's to say that that's bad, but that if that's what you need. But then to sustain that culture, it has to be more about these what we're calling our differentiating indices, but more about those emotions and how you can positively set some goals around courage, inclusivity, commitment, and then the shared beliefs we have as an organization. And I think that now you pull back from that and you see that consumer marketing perspective, that ability to tap into the emotion, to kind of tug on the heartstring, it sounds very soft, but it has now taken that ability of culture eats strategy for breakfast and actually put some meat around how that you actually do that and how you can follow that through to say, okay, go back to, are you in a culture of safety? Are you in a culture of innovation? You know, are you trying to grow in emerging markets, right? All of those things may require different attributes from your leaders and from, you know, the rank and file of the organization as well.
Yeah. No, Anthony, that makes perfect sense and aligns a lot with, yeah, what I think has been lacking in the past, as you said, about some of the focus on culture as its own thing that exists only in its own sort of bucket and doesn't necessarily or we haven't figured out how it actually influences strategy and execution, as Trish said, like how it actually it should influence the types of people we bring into the organization as well. Anthony, I'd like to ask you about and let me just do a quick reset. This is HR Happy Hour 227. My name's Steve Bowes. Trish McFarland, of course, is with us. And our guest is Anthony Abatello from Deloitte. Trish, that was good. I only did one reset so far in the show, 20 minutes in.
You did. Very, very amazing.
I got a little coaching before the show, Anthony. I don't mean to embarrass you, Trish, but Trish gave me some good advice before the show, and I appreciate
that. That's what I'm here for.
You're an HR executive at heart, right, Trish?
That's right. I have to coach you along.
That's right. Didn't you give me a performance review on air one time? I think you did. Or maybe we talked about doing it.
I think we've threatened it, yes, at times. Maybe that'll be an upcoming show, the Steve Bowes performance review.
Oh, that's going to be brutal.
That's probably more like a corrective action. You know, I'm more of a fan of, yeah, of sort of coming in after somebody's done something wrong. So,
Did I tell the story? I'm sorry, we're getting off topic a little bit. Did I tell the story, Trisha?
One
job.
I love it.
I got this job. I'm not going to say which specific job it was, but it's a few jobs back, and I was just new on the job, doing I was the HR tech guy for the company, right? You know, it wasn't. Right. It was in HR, but it wasn't an HR, job. But so there was a team of people there. I sort of inherited. I was on the job like 2 days, and I got a call from the person who did HR for HR, which is another HR person. I know this is getting confusing, but you know what I mean, Trish, like whoever our HR person was on the team.
That's amazing because we usually don't have those people.
We did. We had one.
In a progressive place.
We had one. And she said to me, hey, Steve, welcome to the company. I know we haven't had a chance to meet yet, but I need you to do something. I need you to put one of your employees on a corrective action or a performance improvement plan. Like, I hadn't even met the person. She was a remote employee. And
nice.
I hadn't even talked to her. And that was my first introduction to her. I had to call her like the next day and say, hey, I'm the new manager here. And oh, by the way, you're on a performance improvement plan. So, you know, get your crap together
goodness.
Or you're out. That was a great
conversation.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
2 months later, she voluntarily resigned from the company, by the way. I'm
yeah,
not sure
you gave
if
her the message.
I guess I did. That was fun. But yep. So there's my story. So, hey, Anthony, I want to talk about what you guys at Deloitte are doing around your Culture Path product, if we could, a little bit. And so I read about it a little bit before the show, and I found it really interesting. And I like how you're sort of putting some technology and some processes and some thought behind many of the ideas you've talked about. Can you tell us a little bit about that, both the product and just the sort of the thinking behind what you guys are doing with the Culture Path solution?
Sure. I would love to. Thank you.
My pleasure.
So Culture Path is really the confluence of many different things. So it is that research that I was telling you about that consolidates the thinking around that emotional connection and those normative factors. It is the analytics tool that then helps clients define and then ultimately implement what they have and giving them the dashboard. And then it's the follow on, monitoring and measuring of that with the organization. So the first part is it's those the indices. So we've developed 8 indices that are drive driving the culture and, you know, driving organizational culture. They're not good or bad, but the first are foundational. They're a continuum. So they're collective focus, risk and governance, external orientation, and change and innovation. And it's, again, those are really more about which one does your organization lean more towards.
Okay.
Neither is good or bad, but it's really about where the organization leans. And that's where those foundational elements are about the, you know, solely about where you are in the strategy, what you want to do in your business. And so, like I was saying before, if you are, you know, being very customer driven, you want to be about customer service, external orientation is going to be, you know, one of your primary focuses of the culture. Then the next one is about, you know, when you sustain change in culture, you have to think about these new connections. And that's really about those differentiating factors. Now, these are positively correlated in that, you know, we really want to get as close to 100% around these different attributes. Again, it's not a good or bad, but the more of them, the better you have at achieving this differentiation. And those are about courage, inclusivity, commitment, and shared beliefs. And that those together really, you know, the more we gain, the more differentiating we are to other organizations, but also in our own business strategy. So, you know, courage is about how do people, you know, challenge the status quo and really, you know, how do they persevere in the face of adversity? Mm-hmm. Inclusivity is about, you know, working with diverse colleagues and ideas. It's really broader than, you know, the D&I piece. Commitment, it's, you know, how much are we going to support that larger plan? You know, sometimes even if it makes our lives a little bit more difficult, but that level of commitment that we have. And shared beliefs are really where we get into that company-specific challenges and opportunities. So, you know, do we all, you know, walk arm in arm around certain areas that are specific to our company? And then the culture path solution uses the analytics, you know, the inputs from the employee population, you know, whether it's through iteration, one time, or over time, to provide the analytics for the leaders to give them insights into how people actually experience the organization. So how well they're connecting emotionally with the organization and knowing, you know, what actions we need to take depending on our business strategy. So again, you know, if we're growing in emerging markets, there's different types of courage and commitment that we're going to need. So we know where we can focus and really drive change versus, okay, this is what we've got. This is where we are. Let's go, you know, let's go implement some new employee relations programs or some new, you know, engagement activities that, you know, we don't know whether or not they're going to make a difference.
Yeah, and Anthony, that's, you sort of led me to my sort of one of my follow-up questions on this was, well, what kinds of things can you do you or are typically done in this analysis if you find there's a little bit of misalignment, say, like if the strategy is saying we're going to expand, we're chasing market share around the world, and we're going to be aggressive around doing that, and you find that the analysis of people's experiences with the organization maybe are not supporting that strategy. What are some of the kinds of things that organizations can do, or you try to help them do to try to bridge those gaps?
Yeah, so a lot of it is looking internally at, you know, whether it's, you know, what we would call behavioral or systemic reinforcement. Behavioral might be if there is misalignment, right? We might look at leader behaviors, right? So if you're looking at chasing market share and we have to be bolder in some of the decisions that we're going to make or opportunities we're going to chase, that drives a different level of courage for those individuals. So being supportive of individuals, you know, challenging the status quo is an important behavioral reinforcement we need from our leaders. So it can't be great. We're going to be, you know, courageous and we're going to move boldly into the future. And then when we're in meetings, every time someone brings up a new idea, it's shot down. So it has to get down to that individual level, right? Otherwise, you know, we're just screwed. And then if it's, but there are other times where, you know, if you think about organizations now that are trying to, you know, go through a turnaround, right? That level of commitment that they have to during this tough period has to be higher. So we might look at some of the systemic reinforcement, which might be the sales process. It might be performance management. You know, wherever those let's say, like, you know, where the ugly truths come out. You know, when you're in those rooms, when you're making those decisions about process within the organization, many organizations, this is about, you know, the annual budget cycle, right? Who gets what dollars? Who gets what capital investment, right? If you're, you know, IT and you're constantly chasing, you know, the big capital investments off the balance sheet, right? That type of decision-making process has to be consistent with the culture, which has to be supportive of the strategy. So then, you know, we have to be consistent in those systemic reinforcements so that, you know, we're reinforcing the right business processes to support the, you know, the actual strategy and the actual behaviors, attributes of the organization. So if someone's coming for major capital investment in new technology that isn't supportive of the strategy, right, I have to think about what is that going to get for the organization and make sure that I'm consistent in how I behave in that decision-making process to the culture that we've defined. So it's a little, you know, I think together that's the making it stick, right? Mm-hmm. The analytics give you that interesting way of cutting the data to find where pieces of your organization really are living the culture today and seeing how you model that or where they're not and where there's huge gaps that you need investment today. And you do that through those two, through that behavioral and systemic reinforcement. And it's not something that is an arduous task. It's not something that, you know, can take, you know, 3 to 5 years and multi-million dollar projects. You know, a lot of these things are just, you know, smart, pragmatic decisions that, you know, client executives need to make, you know, around that strategy and around those behaviors.
You know, I love this whole idea where you're talking about the sort of that thought, the thought that comes behind having that support. When an organization is using Culture Path, is this something that's visible only at the leadership level, or do the employees have maybe any bit of insight also into sort of how the culture is aligning with their jobs and where those gaps might be?
You know, I think it really it comes down to the culture, right? How much of transparency do we want to share with individuals, especially if it's not where we are, you know, it's not where we are, right, where we want to be, right? So I think it comes down to that level of transparency in the culture that's driving that, you know, that decision or that's driving that strategy. So, you know, I think it could be. I think the idea of it today is that it's driven for the executive, the business leader, to make the decisions they need to make. Because outside of that context, many employees may not get it. But our point of view is always, you know, the greater the transparency, the better, right? So the more you can share with individuals on that result, right? So if I have to go through and do a survey and provide you with information and I don't hear anything back, or I don't know what it is that it's informing for us in our strategy, well then, you know, I'm not really motivated to continue to provide that level of transparency myself or take the time out of my day to give you the feedback. So helping them, you know, be aware and gain that insight is extremely helpful in moving or making the shift towards a new, you know, cultural attributes.
Anthony, thanks so much for that. Hey, you know, we could probably go on about culture. I know I could, Trish. Culture, strategy, forever. And Anthony, I'm going to tell you what. If I go onto the Deloitte website and I see rock, paper, scissors on there soon, I'm going to know. I'm going to know where you heard that idea from. I'm going to know.
Trademark Steve Bose.
No question. I've been working.
Well, I was just thinking as he's talking about all of this culture path, I'm thinking – this would be a great phone app that you all could develop for those of us who, you know, have our own businesses. Maybe I'd have this sort of little light version on my phone I could go through as I'm looking at my new clients and trying to figure out if I align with their culture or not. You could take
That's
this all different
idea.
Directions.
Yeah. Yes. All good ideas.
I think this, honestly, I've read about this too, a couple things. I think this would be a great technology as well to showcase, hopefully, maybe next year at HR Tech as well, you know, as an innovative new technology. Because I think it's, like I said, I've seen a thousand pieces of software, a thousand, not that many, but I've seen plenty.
Have you seen a thousand?
I've seen plenty of software that only takes this to the first step and can't go past it at all. They just have no idea how to do it. Plus, besides, they're not backed by sort of, you know, the smart people like at Deloitte who've been around for many, many years. working with businesses of all kinds around human capital strategy and business strategy as well, which is a huge advantage, I think, too. Anthony, we should probably wind it down. For folks who want to learn more about your approach, your research, the tool itself, the Culture Path tool, and the technology and the methodologies around that, where would you have people go?
Very simply to Deloitte.com/culturepath, one word, culture path. It will give you, there's a great video out that shows the culture path solution. It gives you the insights into those indices that I talked about, and also shares some of the credentials and case studies that we've had with a couple of our clients. And there's also a way of getting in contact with us there as well.
Awesome. Ewell, that's good. Now, I'm going to hold you to a couple things. One is, have you personally back at HR Tech in Chicago this year, by the way? We're excited about that. And then let's talk next year about, can we feature the Culture Path solution as well at the show? Because I think it's a really innovative, clever, and needed solution in this space.
That would be great, and I will stick to that commitment as long as we get into my personal travel schedules.
That's right.
otherwise you're buying me a bottle of wine.
Exactly. Don't schedule like a child or a vacation or whatever it is you got to do, like your parents' anniversary. Have that rescheduled. Whatever needs to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anthony Abitello from Deloitte, thank you so much for being on the show. It's my pleasure. Great to talk to you again.
Same here. Thank you both for having me. This is a lot of fun, and thanks for the insights.
Hey, our pleasure. Hey, Trish, great show. Anthony's the man. I told you.
I know.
Like that guy.
So interesting. I love it.
The culture and strategy. That's my thing. Connecting. I think this is awesome. So I'm excited about this, and we'll definitely we'll keep close eye on what happens going forward with what Deloitte is doing in this area and the Culture Path solution as well. So great show. Good stuff. What else before we wrap it up, Trish? Anything we want to mention real quick before we say good morning, as the case may be?
Good morning. Just for people to keep your eye on the HR Happy Hour site, and we're going to be sharing information as we finalize the HR Evolution for 2016. We are looking for sponsors for that as well as for HR Happy Hour, so if anyone's interested in those, please reach out to me or to you. And HR Evolution will be in Cleveland this year. We're very excited. We have a team of people on the ground right now scouting our locations. And I will just say, I'm going to venture to put this out there, this is probably going to be the coolest one yet. So we've got a really dedicated team, and they've got a lot of really cool ideas in terms of location and other events that we can plan for the weekend. So it's June 4th in Cleveland, and stay tuned. Tickets should go on sale in the next month here. And just let us know if you have questions for more information.
Great. Just a couple quick ones for me, Trish, and we'll wind it down. Next April, Health and Benefits Leadership Conference, that is put on by LRP as well. I have a little bit of involvement in that show, and I'm putting together an ideas and innovators session for that show. So if you're an innovative thinker or leader in the health benefits, total rewards kind of space, and are interested in being a part of the Health and Benefits Leadership Conference, you can reach out to me about that. And lastly, Trish, you and I and a few other folks are heading to China, it looks like, in April
year
to be a part of HR Tech China. So we'll probably do a show about that. Maybe we'll do one from China when we get there or something like that. But we're excited about HR Tech China. So if you're interested at all in HR Tech China, you can reach out to me as well, and if you want to be involved in that show potentially. So I think that's it for me.
Very good.
Good stuff. Thanks again to Anthony Abitello from Deloitte. Trish, thank you. And your dogs were great. I didn't hear a peep out of them.
That's right. They're so quiet. I've got them trained.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. I guess that's it. We'll see you next time from the HR Happy Hour Show. Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.